Lights were dimmed and the mood was somber today as the Berlin Christmas market reopened. Police have installed concrete barriers to prevent vehicles from plowing through as that truck did on Monday, killing 12 and more than 4 dozen others injured. The search for the suspected driver, a Tunisian named Anis Amri, continues. Police raided apartments linked to Amri in Berlin and the city of Dortmund. A refugee center in another German city was also searched. Authorities today confirmed that in addition to his wallet, his fingerprints have been found on the truck used in the attack. Danny Eberhard is a reporter for the BBC's Europe desk. He's in London. And Danny, talk about what police are saying today.
We've had a press conference from the Interior Minister, Thomas de Maizière, and he's confirmed that fingerprints were found in the truck. It's an important development. The German authorities have been quite tight-lipped up to now about what they do and don't know about the case. Most of what we're learning has been sourced in media reports. So that's a good concrete sign, according to the obviously that he was the attacker, and the authorities are increasingly convinced that the suspect is the person they're looking for.
Well, what else are we hearing besides the fact that he was arrested and released in August? Tell us more about what we're hearing.
Well, there was a very interesting development on Wednesday when a regional state minister confirmed that he was going to be deported, but they couldn't actually do this because he didn't have paperwork in order, and they tried to get confirmation from Tunisia that he was a Tunisian citizen, and Tunisia didn't actually send the paperwork through. It actually arrived this week, so this is why he was allowed to leave and evaded the attention of the authorities. He was kept under surveillance for a long period in the summer. He was suspected that of planning an attack. They thought perhaps he was going to carry out a robbery in order to buy weapons. But after a while, this was it looked like they didn't have enough evidence to support that theory. They saw that he had had some involvement with drug dealing. He was also involved in a barroom brawl. But the idea that he was going to launch an attack seemed to be deprioritized.
Well, the New York Times is reporting that he was on a U.S. no-fly list, that he had researched explosives online, had communicated with ISIS. There must be people, you know, very upset that, yes, yeah, sure, it's all circumstantial, but that he was then released.
The case has highlighted some real difficulties here for the German authorities. A senior politician in the governing CDU party, that's Chancellor Angela Merkel's party, has spoken of the failings in German security services, these domestic failings, in terms of passing information. Germany is a federal country, and the individual states have large responsibilities for security within their own areas. Now, it seems as though there was a problem in passing information between Nordrhein-Westfalia, which is an area where he was registered and where he briefly stayed in an asylum centre, and Berlin, which is where he spent a large period of his time. And Germany, I must say at this point, wasn't the only country that had difficulty deporting him. He had actually spent a time in jail in Italy, and the Italian authorities tried to deport him and likewise failed to do so, partly because, again, Tunisia failed initially to recognize him as a citizen of theirs.
Well, and the U.S., we've reported recently, has the same problem with undocumented immigrants in that often they cannot be deported if the country of origin will not allow them in. So that's a global problem. But meantime, what happens now? There is this manhunt. How much do we know about that?
We know, for example, that the borders have been tightened, especially in the northwest of the country. So we're talking about the borders between Germany and the Netherlands and Germany and Belgium. But there's also a wider European arrest warrant for Anis Amri. So the German authorities insist they're doing absolutely all they can. There's obviously fevered work behind the scenes to try to bring him to justice. That is Germany's chief priority at the moment. Their entire efforts are dedicated to catching the man.
One last question. There is speculation that if this is the truck driver and if this was an ISIS attack, he would normally make his way back to Syria and perhaps an ISIS stronghold, but that those have been reduced. What is your sense of ISIS's true involvement in this?
It's very difficult to say. We know at this stage that Anis Amri has connections with Islamists, with Salafi preachers, but initially it seems as though he didn't grow up As a radical Islamist. This is, his family say that he was radicalised in Italy, possibly in prison, while he was there. His brother has spoken of a man who used to get drunk, used to do odd jobs, but there's no indication from his early background that he was highly involved in religion. So there's still lots of things to be clarified about how and why he was radicalised, if indeed that was the case. Islamic State have claimed responsibility for the attack, but at the moment the authorities haven't directly confirmed that.
Danny Eberhard of the BBC's Europe Desk. Danny, thank you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much indeed.